Ever get sucked into those stories that make you wonder if you're reading a business plan or like a thriller novel?
Yeah, the ones that seem too wild to be true.
Exactly. That's what we're diving into today, Mike James's Smoke and Mirrors, specifically Chapter 13. Buckle up, because it's about Mike Kennedy, a name you might not know yet, but this guy's journey through the retro gaming world, it's a doozy.
Oh yeah, Mike Kennedy. Definitely a case study in what not to do if you're trying to make it in the retro game scene. More cautionary tale than success story.
James even calls him a serial entrepreneur in the book, which honestly, when you look at what went down, kind of fits.
It's almost like clockwork with some entrepreneurs, you know, bouncing from one big idea to the next, always convinced this is the one. But with Kennedy, it seemed like the follow through, the actual execution, well, it was always a bit off.
He seemed to live life on fast forward, always looking for the shortcut to success. I mean, take his first stab at the retro game world, chase the chuck wagon, and eBay, but specifically for retro games. Great idea on paper, right? Tap into that nostalgia, that passionate community.
Sounds good, in theory, but you know what they say about the best laid plans? The retro gaming market's tough. You gotta really hustle to get noticed, build a loyal user base, and that takes time. Something Kennedy never seemed to have much of.
Exactly. And instead of sticking it out, figuring out how to make it work, he jumped ship. Next stop, Vendazzle. I mean, not the most memorable name for an online auction site, if you ask me. Catchy names weren't exactly his forte. But yeah, Vendazzle, another flash in the pan, didn't last long. And there are actually some pretty shady stories about what happened to all the user data from that one when he moved on. Whoa. Seriously, talk about a red flag.
Yeah, not exactly ethical business practices. But that's a story for another time, maybe.
Okay, so we'll put a pin in that one.
Yeah.
But then, not to be deterred, he's back at it again. This time it's Game Gavel. Slightly better name. Same basic idea. The guy clearly had a thing for online auctions.
He did love his auctions. And this time, he even manages to wrangle some investors. Though, I think most of them were family and friends.
Oh, really? Wow, that adds a whole other layer of pressure. Disappointing anonymous backers is one thing, but when you've got your loved ones putting their money where your mouth is, that's got to be intense.
Definitely ups the ante. And this is where we start to see Kennedy's, shall we say, signature style emerge.
His MO.
Exactly. To promote Game Gavel, he goes all in on podcasts and social media. Suddenly, he's this retro gaming guru, the voice of a generation. He lands a spot on the Retro Gaming Roundup podcast, starts doing interviews, the whole nine yards.
Smart strategy, right. Building a platform, establishing himself as an authority.
Savvy, for sure. And plenty of entrepreneurs have used those tactics to build successful businesses. But with Kennedy, there's always this underlying feeling, at least in hindsight, that something's dot off. Like, maybe he's playing a different game than everyone else. Like, he's always putting on a performance, you know? And for a while, people bought it. But behind the scenes, Mike James's book pulls back the curtain, and let's just say things weren't always what they seemed.
It's the classic bait and switch, and nowhere is that more clear than with his next endeavor, the Retro Gaming Magazine.
Oh yeah, the magazine. That was a whole saga in itself.
What starts as this collaborative effort quickly spirals into, well, more smoke and mirrors. And unfortunately, some of Kennedy's closest collaborators ended up getting burned.
You see that pattern of his really emerge here, using people to get ahead.
It's like he's treating people like collectible power-ups. You know, each one gets him a little closer to that next level. But these partnerships, they never seem to last very long.
And they often left a trail of broken promises in their wake.
Oh. Okay, so the magazine itself, it actually started with Steve Sawyer, a writer for Game Gavel and a diehard retro gamer. He saw this gap in the market. No U.S.-based magazine dedicated solely to classic games. So he pitches the idea to Kennedy.
Seemed like a match made in heaven at first, right?
Totally. You've got Sawyer, the ideas man, the passionate one. And then you've got Kennedy, Mr. Marketing, with his podcast platform and everything.
A recipe for success, at least on paper. They even bring in another guy, David Gilton, in to help with the design. It was a little rough around the edges in those early stages, but the passion was there. You could tell they were doing it for the love of the game, literally.
But then, enters Mark Kaminsky, and things start to take a turn.
Kaminsky's an interesting character. He actually worked in magazine publishing, knew the business side of things, so he helps them polish their pitch, create a more professional-looking product.
And suddenly Kennedy sees dollar signs. He's telling Sawyer it's a partnership, a way to expand the Retro Gaming Roundup brand, bring in new listeners. But then he turns around and tells Kaminsky a completely different story, emphasizing their roles as the main players.
classic divide and conquer, right? Creating this illusion of collaboration while simultaneously sowing seeds of doubt.
And of course, to fund this grand vision, they needed cash. Enter Kickstarter. Remember how Kennedy was a master of self-promotion?
Oh, yeah. He went into overdrive for this one.
He used that retro gaming roundup platform for all it was worth. Promised listeners exclusive content, a share of the profits, you name it.
Promises that, according to his co-hosts, never really materialized.
Sensing a theme here.
Definitely. And it gets worse. In the middle of all this, Kennedy brings in yet another person, Brandon Justice. He's supposed to help with the magazine.
Wait, so what about Steve Sawyer? The guy who came up with the idea in the first place.
Pushed to the sidelines, his role diminishes, his contributions get downplayed.
Wow, talk about adding insult to injury.
It's a classic case of out with the old, in with the new, except in this case, the new is just more of the same Kennedy, calling all the shots and leaving a trail of, shall we say, unmet expectations.
And so we arrive at the main event, the grand spectacle that really cemented Mike Kennedy's legacy in the retro gaming world.
Or maybe solidified his reputation is a better way to put it.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate.
Yeah.
This is where it all goes down. I mean, we're talking about his big, bold attempt to launch a brand new console, the Retro VGS.
Talk about aiming high. This wasn't another online auction site or a niche magazine anymore. This was about stepping into the ring with the giants, the legends of gaming history.
He was always a showman, but for the Retro VGS, he went into overdrive. Remember how he used the podcast to promote the magazine?
Oh, yeah, he was a one-man hype machine.
Multiply that by 10. He was everywhere, drumming up excitement, talking up the console specs, the design, this whole return to classic gaming values thing.
He really knew how to push those nostalgia buttons.
But, and I think we all know where this is going, as we learned from Mike James's book, the reality behind those flashy promises. Oh, let's just say it was a little different.
You could say that again. Remember Sean Robinson, that tech guru we mentioned earlier? The one shrouded in mystery?
Oh, how could I forget? The supposed mastermind, the tech wizard who was going to make all of Kennedy's retro dreams a reality.
Well, Robinson's involvement in the retro VGS is where things take a turn, and not in a good way.
This is where it starts to feel less like a business venture and more like an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. You know, secret prototypes, leaked documents, more finger pointing than a game of Clue.
It's a wild ride. Kennedy's out there claiming that Robinson is working on this groundbreaking technology, revolutionary stuff, a real game changer.
And of course, to bring this technological marvel to life, he needed that sweet, sweet funding. Enter crowdfunding.
He'd gotten a taste of it with the magazine, and I guess he figured, why not try it again, right?
So he sets his sights on Kickstarter, ready to wow potential backers with promises of retro gaming bliss. Only one problem.
Or several problems, depending on how you look at it.
This is where it gets comical, like laugh out loud, ridiculous.
It all starts at the 2015 Toy Fair.
Picture this. Big industry event, journalists buzzing around, investors with dollar signs in their eyes, and Kennedy proudly unveils a Super Nintendo snuffed inside a Jaguar console.
You can't make this stuff up. The SNES and Jag, they called it.
The gaming world collectively facepalmed. Where was this revolutionary tech, this amazing design, this supposed rebirth of retro gaming?
It was a disaster. But in true Kennedy fashion, he spins it as a minor setback. Just a placeholder, he claims. A rough draft of the real deal.
Of course.
Right. Never one to admit defeat.
Undeterred, he pushes forward. He even tries to film a Kickstarter video. You know, the kind designed to make wallets spontaneously open. But yeah. There's a slight hitch.
By slight hitch, you mean he still didn't have a working prototype.
Detail. So what does he do? He cobbles together this Frankenstein's monster of footage, some random clips, some images he captured using a DVR card.
And of course, the internet being the internet, someone noticed.
The jig was up. Those leaked DVR images, they spread like wildfire. It was a PR nightmare.
You'd think that would be the end of it, right? Yeah. The nail in the coffin. But not for Mike Kennedy.
Oh, no. He doubles down. Blames the whole thing on Sean Robinson, of course. Claims he was tricked, misled, taken advantage of by his own tech guru.
The classic blame the tech guy defense.
Except, and here's the kicker, Mike James reveals in his book that even after the DVR debacle, after all the red flags, Kennedy's still writing checks to Sean Robinson.
Checks with memo lines, like prototyping, hardware design, you know, the works.
It makes you wonder, was Kennedy really in the dark? Or was this all part of some elaborate, convoluted scheme?
That's the million-dollar question. Unfortunately, we don't get a definitive answer from Mike James's book.
What we do know is that the Retro VGS, Despite all the hype, all the promises never materialized. The Kickstarter campaign canceled, leaving a trail of confused and disappointed backers wondering what just happened.
It's a wild story, but it's also a cautionary tale. It reminds us that even in the world of retro gaming, where nostalgia runs deep and passions run high, not everything is as it seems.
Absolutely. It's a reminder to do your homework, ask tough questions, and be wary of those promises that sound too good to be true.
Because sometimes the most important lessons aren't about what to buy, but about what to avoid.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, that's it for our deep dive into Mike Kennedy and the Retro VGS. Hopefully you learned a thing or two, and maybe next time you're thinking about backing that revolutionary new gaming project, you'll remember this story. Be careful out there.